الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون صدق الله العظيم. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu reports that when wahi would come to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you could make out there was the sound of buzzing of bees around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you would make out that there is some fresh wahi revelation coming from the heavens. It's left on the individual. Someone takes to the revelations that come from the heavens, and someone takes to the revelation that is coming from London, Paris, Zululand, or New Zealand. So that's the choice. It is left to the individual. You take this or you take that. If you're going to take to Zululand and New Zealand and Basutoland, then you will become like them. And if you take to that which is coming from the heavens, from Allah Ta'ala via Jibreel alayhi salam to Hazrat Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi salam, then after some times your mind also will be shaped accordingly. In this world, Allah Ta'ala doesn't force anybody. It's your choice, prerogative. You either choose this path or choose that path. That's your prerogative. But for each path, there is a price and there is a reward. So he's told you in advance, there is a price, there is a reward. What you choose, then that's the consequence for that you'll have to see. So when the wahi had subsided, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards the Qibla and he made this dua. Allahumma zidna wala tanqusna. O Allah Ta'ala, grant us increase, no decrease. That's human psychology, that you want increase. Increase in health, increase in barakat, increase in the rewards in the hereafter, increase in prosperity. So every person desires for that. So when It's a natural desire. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hasn't condemned this. Yes, what the hadith condemns is that we don't live for that. For material prosperity, that's not the goal, it's not the objective. But if it comes, we appreciate it. If it doesn't come, it's not a train smash. If it comes, alhamdulillah. It doesn't come, one of those things. So that's the parting point between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. A non-Muslim who doesn't have iman, he doesn't believe in the life after death. So if he makes the world his goal, he makes it his target, then he's excused because he doesn't believe that there's a life after death. So when he doesn't believe in the life after death, then his understanding is, let's make the best as long as we are alive. After that, there's nothing. So that's how the kafir is made to think. زُجِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ زُجِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The life of this world is made alluring and attractive to them. And therefore, وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا. Because in front of them, it is just this life. So they ridicule, وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And they ridicule the believers. They will say, he's a terrorist, he's a ninja, he's a Islamophobia, what criticisms they want. They will say that. Because they don't believe in that life. And the whole beginning of our life is, we believe in the hereafter. We believe in the unseen. That is why the Quran Sharif starts off with the verse, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. We haven't seen Jannat, but we believe. We haven't seen Jahannam, but we believe. And the belief has to be escalated all the time. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلِيهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. That belief must increase all the time. A Muslim will look at life like this. When he's walking out of his house, then his understanding, his outlook is Jannat. That I'm going towards Jannat. Each step is taking me closer to Jannat. And what will distract me and turn me away from Jannat? So that's how he's looking. The belief is in the unseen. Last week, sometimes, so one person comes up and he says, he's just got married and he's giving me a report, right? That as he and his family had met, and there were some things that they discussed, alright? So the intimacy they must not discuss, that's haram. But if there's anything else that we can learn and we can benefit, then why not? Yes, the intimacy they must not discuss, it's haram for them to discuss that to anybody else. But besides that, if there's something that is beneficial, then why not? So, husband, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, he's quite Allah conscious, righteous, committed to the sunnah. Although he seems like a very simple person, but very committed to the sunnah, and he won't do anything until he's not verified things. Conscious of Allah Ta'ala, if he slips up, then too he feels miserable, he'll make tawbah, he'll come and mention it, and he'll look for a remedial procedure. So, he says that when I've been adopting this path of righteousness and taqwa and restraining myself, so my parents, my family and my household and my friends were saying, you know, now you become so strict and you're not going to halls and malls. Now this is the proximate words that he related to me. I'm relating what he is told. So you're not going to halls and malls. I understand why. He says me himself, because the halls are not like what they used to be now. There is some level of mixing up. And the malls, well, we all know it's no more just a plain shop. It's not a plain shop. It's not something that a Muslim must feel comfortable. The music, there's women, and everything, every type of vice that you can think of and perceive is there. So he made up his mind that I'm not going to the hall, I'm going to the mall. But now, this was the type of criticism that he got from his household, his parents, his friends, that nobody will accept you in marriage. You're going on this path here, nobody will accept you. Who are you going to, how are you going to get married? So the wife is telling him, strangely, that my parents, or not my parents, only my friends, etc., they also mentioned the same thing. That, you know, you just abandon the hall, abandon the mall, and that type of fast life, or a little bit fast life, you just abandon that. Who's going to ever propose for you? How can you ever get married? Right. So the boy got the same criticism, the girl got the same criticism. And when he mentioned this, my mind just went to Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullahi, the one that had conquered and brought back the Masjid al-Aqsa into Muslims' hands. So the father of Salahuddin Ayyubi, a Kurdi, right, from Kurd. So he is already over 25, 28, reaching up to 30, and he's not just getting married. So friends are telling him, "Bhai, you're of age now, and you pass that age, and we don't see you living a loose life. You're quite righteous. You're supposed to be getting married by now." So he says, "No, I want that type of woman in my life that will hold my hand and lead me to Jannat. And I want that type of a woman that will deliver for me a man that will conquer the Baytul Muqaddas, bring it back to Muslim hands." Now you see the determination, the level of courage. The determination and the level of courage. That's why they say, Himmat-e Marda, Madad-e Khuda. As lofty as your determination is the help of Allah Ta'ala. You determine, you want to work in that line, Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. Our children, we, from the beginning, we make them think, no, you have to do matric and get 7 A's and then become a professional person and then you'll be able to stand on your feet. So when we do that, then many a times the child achieves that. Allah Ta'ala works with you how you consider him, how you believe him to be, so he'll work with you accordingly. So these parents, they had that type of determination, that type of hope in Allah Ta'ala. So it's left to you what you choose. You choose this or you choose that. Anyway, this story continues, and there's a woman also, and she's past the age. Normally in Muslim homes, after 17, 18, 19, they say, alright, call it a day now. Movie up, right? So she's not getting married. She's already 27, 28, and she's not just getting married. So they asked her, "But what's the secret? Why aren't you getting married?" "No, I am looking for that man who will hold my hands and lead me to Jannat, and he will deliver me a child that will conquer Baytul Muqaddas and bring it back to Muslim hands." See the intention, the resolve, the hope in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala made it a reality. Kurdi wasn't such a popular person in those days. Even now, he's not so popular. But when they had that resolve, that determination, that hope and expectation, Allah Ta'ala, and they worked towards it, Allah Ta'ala made the dream a reality. So this youngster now, quite hardworking, very well behaved, Alhamdulillah, you can't point a finger at him, you know, for any wrong. Modest, humility, everything in him. And Allah Pak made it a reality that he got a girl that was equally modest, righteous and virtuous. Now, what hurt me when the youngster mentioned this whole thing to me, what hurt me was the promise of Allah Ta'ala is مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When you are righteous, right, then Allah Ta'ala will create an exit. Min kulli hum min farja. And for any situation, any type of constraint, distress, Allah Ta'ala will create an exit for you. So that's the promise of Allah Ta'ala. Now, on one side is the promise of Allah Ta'ala, and on the other end is what people are saying, you know, if you do this, then you're not going to be able to marry. Nobody's going to accept your hands in marriage. It's a far-fetched dream, what you're talking about, right? Here is the promise of Allah Ta'ala, and here is what people are saying, right? I say, Is there any connection? This is a promise of Allah Ta'ala. You do this, I will sort you out. And it happened so. It happened like this. The nikah was confirmed. The proposal, engagement was confirmed. And the man whose daughter was getting married, he phoned me at around 10 o'clock, right? He says, the proposal, everything is done. So now what's the next step? So I told him, all right, if that thing is done, you did your homework, you show up with the boy, everything, his background, you saw everything. He said, no, I seen everything. So if you've done all this, then the next step is immediate marriage. It's more about the, before you say all that, I am saying you that the next step after this is marriage. Right? Maybe someone may say you're a radical, right? In this zamana, if you talk like this, then you say it's a radical. You know, that's the next step. So no, alright, Mura, if you're saying it, then I'm gonna do it. So not because of I am saying it. Because Hazrat Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, when the match is found, then don't delay. Three things, you don't delay. Namaz, then don't delay. The janazah is ready, don't delay it. And the third thing that Rasulullah Pasim is speaking about is the partner, is the spouse is found, the right suitor is found, then don't delay the process. When it's found, now then what? Why must you delay? If they're going to make any guna after this, then they will be responsible, and the parents who's delaying the whole process, they're also going to be sinful. So no, Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. Who said Allah Pak is not Ghafoor Rahim? Only you know that. The rest of the Islamic world doesn't know that Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. So when Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim, the same Allah Ta'ala's Rasul is saying, just do it now. Just do it now. So Alhamdulillah, he phoned me at 10 o'clock. By 12:30 the nikah was done. Zuhar, and after Zuhar, straight away the nikah is done. What was hurting me is that by the yaqeen and the trust in what people say is so much, and the yaqeen on the Mubarak words of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is nowhere, not featuring. So that means the iman is, there is some definite problem in the iman. If the iman was right, then you wouldn't have made this type of a statement. Allah Ta'ala's promise, مَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You fear Allah Ta'ala, you be righteous, we will sort you out, we will find an exit for you. And then again Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for you? وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ. Just look at the verse, 24th Sipara, the first page. وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِن دُونِي. They are frightening you with others. Right? But isn't Allah Ta'ala sufficient? When Allah Ta'ala is sufficient, and then their minds are working on the world, what the world will do, they will do this, and this is what they will say. So then Allah Pak doesn't feature in this equation at all. Allah Pak is therefore complaining to us, am I not sufficient? That you have to run to this person and that fashion and that culture and what they are saying. That you are leaving me out and you are running to them and seeing what they have to say. So I don't feature anywhere in the equation. Can you see how great a complaint it is that is directed to us from Allah Ta'ala? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبَدًا وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِ. Isn't Allah Pak sufficient? Isn't He enough? So, the first quality of an imam, of a mu'min, is he believes in the unseen. I'll do this, and this is how Allah Ta'ala will reward me. I'll be punctual in my namaz, and Allah Pak will sort me out my rosy, sustenance, Allah Pak will sort out, right? So a Muslim does work, he puts procedures in place. But more than his procedures is, he understands and he's convinced that it is the hand of Allah Ta'ala that is with me, right? And we've seen it just now, that there was a small crisis, right? And when there's a crisis, when I seen what was going, the help of Allah Ta'ala, that seemed, to me it seemed that the crisis was like 1%, and the help of Allah Ta'ala was 100%. You know, so much of help, until they had to phone Johannesburg or wherever others were giving, just hold on the trucks now. Hold on the trucks of relief, and there's too much here. But you see the help of Allah Ta'ala, and the Muslims believe that you follow procedure. Nobody's saying close your shop, close your profession, nobody's saying that. follow that. But your trust and your reliance is in Allah Ta'ala, that He will make it happen. How He'll make it happen, that's not my business, not your business. But it's His promise, you be punctual, you commit yourself to taqwa, to righteousness, to virtue, and I will sort you off. I will make it happen. How I'll make it happen, that's not your business, don't worry about it. I will make things happen. So, Allahumma zidna wa la tankusna. That's the first dua that Rasul has made. Can't grant us increase without any decrease. Now show me, not boasting, but any community can do this much. It's not a government aided and supported community. It's not that they're getting some relief from the outside, South African borders, no. But small little, just one touch, and there the relief just comes. One truck, another truck, horse and trailer, and, you know, so much. Did you ever consider and marvel at the qudrat, at the mercy and the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A little one dot of hurt and pain, and there was so much. You see, the qudrat of Allah ta'ala, the love of Allah ta'ala, when we're doing so little, but He's so loving, so caring. If we just step up a little bit, how much more will be the love of Allah ta'ala? How much more will be the compassion and the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're doing a little bit, right? But we can't say we're not doing anything. But then, the little bit that we are doing, and how much Allah Pak is giving. So, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ اللَّهُمَّ زِدْنَا وَلَا تَنْقُسْنَا وَأَكْرِمْنَا وَلَا تُهِنَّا. Allah Ta'ala, honor us and don't disgrace us. I have to think at times, you know, alright, we are asked to be humble, so then why do we make this dua? وَأَكْرِمْنَا وَلَا تُهِنَّا, and honor us and don't disgrace us, don't embarrass us. Why? For a smooth life in this world, then you need a little bit of respect and a little bit of reputation. A little bit of respect and reputation. Not because of the reputation and not because of you being able to impress on others, no. Not because of that. But with a little bit of honor, respect, then there is a smooth administration in your home, outside the home, in the masjid, everywhere, everything is running smooth, right? Because there is some respect, there is some regards, right, for authority, for the person that is senior, the person is in control. There is some respect for that person, so everything runs well. Now that applies to everything, whether it's your home, whether it's a business, whether it's a profession, whether it is the administration of this country. So you need to respect and recognize the authority for the administration to go well. And if there is no regard, absolutely no regards, I say, can anything work out? Can't work out. You tell your worker, alright, you know, you came delayed today. So what's your problem? So if there's no respect, the worker turns around and says, but you also come with a delay. So what's your problem? Why do you come with a delay? Now that is if there is no respect. But there is some respect, there is a smooth administration, there is understanding, everything is going well. So therefore you ask Allah Ta'ala for a little bit of respect. Right? Your property is safe, the administration goes well, all works and affairs executed, accomplished correctly, everything goes well. But that is when there is some respect and some recognition. And no respect and no recognition, then everything collapses. وَأَكْرِمْنَا وَلَا تُهِنَّا. The third dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made, وَآَعْطِنَا وَلَا تَحْرِمْنَا. And Allah Ta'ala, grant us and don't deprive us. Like Allah Ta'ala gives, He can take away. In a second He can give, in a second He can take away. Who can stop Allah Ta'ala? He is the supreme control, right? One doctor came to me, you know, after this problem, or maybe the second day after the problem, said, you know, I went to my surgery, and there was a damage of 150,000 rands. Now, he's mourning about that whole loss that he incurred. So, I kept on smiling. So he started shouting, he said, is there time to smile now? So I told the doctor, see, isn't it a fact that 2 years ago, around this time, 2 years, exactly 2 years ago, you walked into a superette and you just filled a form, right? And before you could leave, within about 15 minutes, they announced your name and they gave you a brand new twin cab, 1 million rand. I start smiling. Said, like Allah can give it to you in 15 minutes, He can take it away from you in minutes. So why lose sight of Allah Ta'ala? Why lose sight of this thing here? He can give it to you in 15 minutes and you can take it away so quickly. So your stress is because you believe in what you see. You don't believe like you need to believe. You need to believe in the unseen hand of Allah Ta'ala, that He's around. He's with me. He would sort me out. I still have a roof on my head. I have a loving wife and children. Everything is running smooth. Now just that I got this small loss, 150,000 rand. Now, I'm stressing about it. Allah can give it in a moment and take it away in a moment. Why must you attach your heart so much to it? You know, what's going to happen? Kya hoga? Mutai, right? Mutai te there. But whatever is going to happen, will happen. Well, why must you stress about it? You're eating alright. You have this alright. And many a times it happens. You know, I won't say he's a friend, but an acquaintance, right? So he's got quite a bit of wealth, right? Quite a bit of wealth he's got. But now, he had a heart attack. So he chose to go Luthuli and the whole procedure. But now all the rigmarole and the problems that go with it, right? Now, look at it, just look at it, right? Allah Ta'ala gave you a small problem trial. But perhaps He wanted to save you from a major disaster. You had a heart attack, and now go and pay the 500,000, 600,000, go and sort yourself out. But Allah put you through a small trial, and He saved you from a major disaster. So isn't that a great thing? But now, we only look at things with our naive sight and intelligence. We don't want to broaden our horizons. Allah gave yesterday, He'll give today. It's just a little bit of a trial. So why must I stress about it? قَدَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَآتِنَا وَلَا تَحْرِمْنَا وَآثِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْثِرْ عَلَيْنَا. Allah Ta'ala, prefer us over others and don't prefer others over us. You blessed us with Islam. You blessed us with good homes. You blessed us with good children. Allah Ta'ala, let that blessing continue in us, our children, our progenies that we see and progenies that will come. Go on doing that. And don't prefer others to over us, that they get all these favors and we get deprived. وَآثِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْثِرْ عَلَيْنَا. And the last dua, the Rasulullah teaches us here, وَرْضَعَنَّا وَأَرْضِنَا. وَرْضَعَنَّا وَأَرْضِنَا. And oh Allah Ta'ala, be pleased with us, you be pleased with us, and let us be pleased with you as well. Now that is now the crown of all, the culmination and the crown of all rewards, that my Rabb, my Allah Ta'ala is happy with me. You know, you may have heard this verse being recited at the Qabristan. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, compliant soul, irji'i ila rabbik, go back to your Rabb, He is happy with you and you happy. So it's a happy reunion. Your Allah Ta'ala is happy to see you and you are happy to see Allah Ta'ala. I ask you, can there be anything greater than this? Anything perceivable greater when my Allah Ta'ala is happy with me? That's the whole stress of life. That's the concern, the fikr of a Muslim right till he hits the grave. Right till he touches the grave. That is the overwhelming concern. Okay, my Allah Ta'ala must be happy with me. Whatever happened now, some material loss, whatever, but my Allah Ta'ala is happy with me. It's not a problem. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, you know, when we are struck a little bit, so much, which makes such a big noise. Alhamdulillah, it is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. There's so many people that are doing relief work, alhamdulillah. Even now, a lot of shops are closed, but there's so many people, some of my friends, alhamdulillah, they're doing relief work. He doesn't have some capital to start off, that was give him 100,000 and 50,000 and start off, alhamdulillah, start off. You don't have to pay. So this work is carrying on. It's not that I'm sitting here to make chanda of collection for them, but I'm showing you, alhamdulillah, the good-heartedness of a Muslim. What his heart is like. His heart is like this, that I'll do for him and Allah will do for me. I will see to him and Allah Pak will see to me. That's normal. How it will happen, Allah Pak knows, but I must do, my duty is to do for him. And then Allah Ta'ala will just shower his favors. One person was telling me yesterday that, alright, his business, he's got a good, very good business, but he lost about 100,000 rands. Something, someone stole it or whatever happened. But he's telling me, look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, though I lost it, right? And not even 1 week passed, Allah Ta'ala sent 3 customers, each one is worth 100,000 rand. He's giving me for that week 100,000 rand profits, each customer. So he took away 100,000 rand, but then he replaced me so quickly, the same week he replaced. That's what I'm saying repeatedly, by our nazar, our sight, is it by Allah Ta'ala, or is it with things? Nobody's saying that we abandon. Yes, what the complaint is, that the level of confidence and trust that we need to have in Allah Ta'ala, that definitely, I think, is not like how it's supposed to be. That confidence, that hope, that trust in Allah Ta'ala must just go on increasing and increasing. People are asking now, what must do? Every day, not a day passes. You know, is there something else going to happen? Is there another series of problems that will come? I said, nobody can say that what's going to happen. That Allah Pak knows. What's going to happen and what will not happen, that Allah Pak knows. But yes, what you're supposed to ask, under the circumstance, what am I supposed to be doing? Not what Allah Pak will do. Allah Pak will do what he needs to do. In his time, he'll do it, right? If you drop dead now, then Allah Pak's question to you is, did you do what you were supposed to be doing? That's what his question will be. So, it's not your concern, it's not your business. Is there another series of trials going to come towards us? Yes, definitely it is our duty to see, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? See, the battle of Badr, right? Now just look, just one aspect of that. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ. Allah Pak says, yeah, I helped you out. And you are very, very ill-equipped. Imagine people going out in war, right, with 1,000 army opposition, fully equipped to the teeth, informidable. Yeah? And here on this side, on the Muslims, they only got 8 swords, hardly any conveyance. Can you say that they are going to war? Just 8 swords against an opposition of 1,000. So Allah Pak says, we were there to help you. In this crisis also, when I look at it, when I hear the different reports, by now I think I must have heard over 100 reports, right? But in the crisis, I'm quite convinced that I don't think any Muslim committed any murder. I don't think. I don't think it's possible that any Muslim committed any murder. Yes, it was the unseen hand of Allah Ta'ala. قَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبُ. Allah Ta'ala instilled fear into the hearts. I imagine a Muslim is coming barehanded and he sees a whole mob and he just does this. And they're all running away. Like how, you know, if you chase away the monkeys, all run away. Yeah? Big mob is coming, a man comes out and you just do this or you get fouls or something, you just all run away. So what instilled the fear into the hearts? It was just Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding you of Badr. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ. It was we that helped you at Badr. And you are very, very ill-equipped. No weapons, nothing to protect yourself, no proper mounts and conveyances. But we were there, we sent the malaika. We sent the malaika. نُزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَلَائِكَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. We sent malaika from the heavens. So, now, when Allah Pak is reminding you that we supported you, then what's your response? What you supposed to be doing? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So the command of Allah Ta'ala is now, you continue on your righteousness. In righteousness and in good works, there is no such a thing like stagnation in Islam. You can't remain stagnated. No. You must go on moving. You can't stagnate yourself at that spot. move on in your iman, increase your iman. Your righteousness, you increase your righteousness. So when you say righteousness and taqwa, in other words, abstinence, restrain yourself. The wrong that you are doing, whatever, major or minor, but two wrongs, right, we need to guard ourselves. One is in the business, where we are adulterating things, mixing up things, interests, and everything is going around. If someone says something, then they say he's too orthodox. So if someone says, oh, it's alright, banks is alright, insurance is alright, gambling is alright, wine is alright, you can make a plan, you know, you can work around it. So now he's the type of Mulana we need to see. He's got a lot of moderation. That's the type of comment that you hear. But now, the thing is that in this world it may work, but I ask you, kya khuda ke yahan bhi ye chalega? Is this type of a procedure going to work by Allah Ta'ala? And you try to work around, and you try to make loopholes and exits. Is it going to work? If it's not going to work, then open your eyes, by. Open your eyes. This thing doesn't seem to be right. When it doesn't seem to be right, I need to do the right thing. I need my records to be right by Allah Ta'ala. Someone is bluffing me or taking me in circles, I can't go with that. Can I now, can this work by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can this work by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It can't work with Allah ta'ala, then I need to be straight. So, one is in business matters, we don't go in circles and try and justify, etc. See what is pure. I don't say, leave it out entirely, one stroke, that's the best, that's the optimum, that was what it's supposed to be doing. But if you can't do it immediately, now you can't give up insurance immediately, you can't leave out other harams immediately, then there must be an effort, concerted effort, or I will do two things, I will recognize the haram is haram. I'll believe the haram is haram, and I will work a plan that gradually I'll leave these things out. Gradually, but surely, give me a time, say one year, I'll make istighfar, recognize the wrong is wrong, and then I'll work out an exit plan. I put myself into this now, I need to work out an exit plan. I say, brothers, I've seen this type of things, and I feel so convinced about it. Some 35 or 38 years ago, may have been back in the country, say about the third year or fourth year, and one person came, he had a trucking business. So at that time, 38 years ago, he's telling me, Mona, I'm doing insurance. So I showed him how there is an element of interest and gambling that features in this. Now you can reword the thing, takaful, all that, but it's coming to the same. If you look at the structures, it's coming to the same. You may just use fanciful words, but when it is wrong, then don't use his words and justify. Allah Pak doesn't like that. See, this justification thing, the one that started it off was Shaitan. He started justifying, and then we took it on from there. So this justifying thing Allah Pak doesn't like. But He likes you to say, أَبُوُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ. There's an admission of guilt. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. I'm wrong. So when we are wrong, we say it openly, I am wrong, to Allah Ta'ala, not in front of the whole world, but we say it to Allah, we are wrong. We are shameful, we are remorseful for the wrong we are doing, and then look for an exit plan. So I explained this person, alright, look for an exit plan. What do you do? What is your premiums in the month? What are you paying? So he says, be about 35, 40,000 I'm paying just towards insurance. So I said, alright, why don't you do this? That you take the 35, 40,000 then, and put it into the bank, or just deposit it differently, separately. Don't touch that money. Unless there is some attention that is required on the vehicle, you draw from that money. Otherwise, don't touch that money at all. So anyway, he started off. So after about 3 years or so, I met him in some walima or something. I said, "Bhai, you know, how's that trucking thing? And you started that thing off." So I started, he was too happy, he was too excited. Wow, there's about more than 3.5 million rand in that account, not touched. I only took out 30,000 rand. For some vehicle attention, I just took out 30,000 rand. But I have already stashed up for myself over 3.5 million. I'm not going back to this. You see, it's a facade. You know, the way they make it happen, you don't do this, then see what happened. You don't do this, so that's why Allah Pak is complaining. Alaysa Allahu bikafin abada. Am I not enough? Why are you going to other things? My plan is there, it's a perfect plan, it's a complete plan. So what they tell you, you believe. And what I tell you, you don't believe. I'm saying you observe taqwa, righteousness. I will create an exit. I will make an exit for you. But you just hold on to me, trust in me, hold on to me. And it's just a matter of time, something is gone, Allah will replace it. It's just now, we are a little bit like a, you know, it's an Indian mentality. We like to reminisce the past and then keep crying about the past, you know. You know that property was there, and my father, my grandfather lived there, now there is business, now there's nothing now. But why do you need to reminisce? One day you leave it permanently. You know, I was in India about 1975-76. So I was just coming out, New Delhi, from the masjid, and I saw two rows of non-Muslims, Hindus. You could see how they dressed and all that. So it looks like ultra-wealthy family. And they talking, laughing and joking, all that. You know. And then I see one car just pulling out, and I can hear someone is crying, terribly crying. So I'm wondering now, I'm new in India, so I'm wondering now that these people are rejoicing while there's someone that is crying miserably in this motor car. What's going on? So I asked one person, kya ho raha hai, what's happening? He said, Mona, aapko itna bhi pata nahi. You don't even understand this. This is a Hindu wedding. And the Hindu wedding is a luck, it's great, you know, if the bride must cry, she must wail, you know. So they induce her, they induce the crying. So I asked, how they induce it? It's all, probably 75, it was long. How they induce the crying? He said, no, they got a tape recorder. Remember the day, you know, you made a Mari biscuit and offered it to your father, and when he kept you in your laps, you know, and you know how he passed his hand over your head, and he congratulated you at your examinations, and he complimented. Now all that passed, and the inducing the tears in this girl, it was the happiest day of her life. But now that happiness is not complete until she must burst out crying. Now, this crying and this tearing and this agony is self-induced. It is not from Allah that we are inducing it. We keep talking about it, and we become miserable. We create that misery for us. We don't pay attention to it. Think to ourselves, Allah gave it, He took it, He'll give it again. Today He's given it. To me, tomorrow he'll give it to the next person. Again, he'll take a circle and he'll come back to me. So why must I stress about it? So Rasulullah made this dua. After the dua, then he turned towards us. And he says, this ayat, this that I have just received now, it's 10 verses. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Right. Inshallah, Mullah gets time and he'll explain you the tafsir or the details of the verse. My time is up already. That someone applies this, then inshallah, applies it correctly, then he's going straight to Jannah. He applies this, and he applies it correctly, then he's going straight to Jannah. So I only touched on the hadith, but I didn't touch on the verses. But the verses, the first thing is iman. Get that iman right. In that iman, there are two things that we need to think about regularly, right? One is the articles of faith. Understand what are the articles of faith. Amantu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wa yawmil akhiri wa al-qadri khairi wa sharri. Right? One is the articles of faith, number one. Number two, to embrace the articles of faith with cheer, not grudgingly. We believe in Allah Ta'ala, we believe in Him happily. We believe in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with happiness, with cheer. You are rejoicing that Allah has blessed me with this. You believe in all the articles of faith, but you believing it with happiness. Right? You believe in taqdeer, and you believe in taqdeer also with happiness, with a conviction, with certainty and with happiness. Not grudging. You're believing in it with happiness. And one way to get this right, you know, to embrace, to understand the articles of faith, and thereafter, after understanding the articles of faith, then to embrace it with happiness. One simple way to do it is we say, Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam rasuluhu wa nabiyya. Morning and evening, say, Allah Ta'ala, I'm very happy with you. I love you. I'm happy with everything that you sent to us. You are my Rabb, and you being my Rabb, I'm too happy. You nourish me, cherish me from nothing, from non-existence. You brought me up here. Where I was and where you brought me, I'm very happy with this. No complaint. So you're happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're happy with Allah ta'ala, then that person will always remain happy. He'll be content, he'll be comfortable, and he'll be happy. Allah ta'ala will make him happy. But if you go on complaining, then your life becomes a misery. You think that I'll complain, and that complaining will be a solution, it will be a relief. No, that complaint is not a relief. It'll add to the problem. But on the other way, what Islam is teaching, be happy with Allah ta'ala. He'll work the plan for you, but how he'll work it, don't worry about it. Yesterday was one man is telling me that when there was a problem in 49, right? So he remembers his parents had to live in an African person's kraal, right? But today now that person, his business is worth 2 billion. He lost everything. His father lost everything, and today he's worth 2 billion. See that? Where he was and how Allah Ta'ala turned it around. But don't we see the unseen hand of Allah Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala, I'm pleased with you as my Rabb, Rasul Paksam as my Rasul. All his teachings, I love it, I believe in it, and I embrace all that. And Islam as my deen. There's nothing of deen that I resent or I dislike. I say, had it not been Islam, you know, there could have been something else. I don't have the reservation. Fully I like that. Maybe I'm not doing everything, but Allah Ta'ala, I do love it. I do believe in that. You say this in the morning, say that in the evening. If you say Allah Ta'ala that I love you, I love your Rasul, I love your deen, won't Allah Pak love you? So that's a guarantee for your security of your iman. You know, after you passed 55, 60, then you think that there's a last phase in life, that is now death. Allah Pak, let that go well. So an easy way to get your iman right, and the transition from this life to the next, to for that thing to be smooth. See, you know, we're talking about unseen, and Allah Ta'ala conceals it, keeps it. I'll just tell you the story and then finish up. My time is past now. So Allah Ta'ala conceals it. He doesn't show it. And there is wisdom for Allah Ta'ala not showing it. We think that, have we known, you know, if I know the stock market now, and it's going up like that, I will just get that. I know it's going to crash, I'll just come out of it. You know. The Bitcoin is just going up, from 50 rand now to 5,000 rand, Now it's going to crash tomorrow. If I knew that, I would just... So that's how we think, like Sheikh Challi, we'll just think like that. And we'll make a misery of ourselves. Islam is saying, alright, try, and then leave the results to Allah Ta'ala. Don't say, no, had I known this, and this would have happened. You will create misery for yourself. So this person goes up to Musa alayhi salam, and he says, Musa alayhi salam, that make dua that I know some part of the unseen. Musa alayhi salam is telling, but that's not the right thing for you to ask. And he's insisting. Now, the Anbiya alayhi salam are very compassionate, very, very loving and compassionate. Musa alayhi salam is repeatedly telling him that that's not the right thing for you to ask. So, no, I want that. Musa alayhi salam made dua. Dua got answered. As the dua got answered now he made out, because he asked for the unseen, Tumara ghora mar jayega, your horse will die. So he went to the horse to the marketplace. He got a cool 100,000 for that, right? Hey. Now he's thinking to himself, no, the Anbiya are very great, you know, they're very great. You can't get anybody greater than the Anbiya. But now, you know, dunya things, the ulama don't know so much. Anbiya, they don't know so much. Yeah, deen, jannat and all, they know. But these things, they don't know. Had I not known the unseen, I would have incurred a loss of 100,000. Now I knew about it, you know, see, I saved myself. Now he's rejoicing, came back for 100,000. Now again hear another voice that ab tumhari gai mar jayegi. You know that doodh dene wali gai. That's the business. For many people, that's the business. That's how they sustain themselves. That thing is going to go. So now he's saying, hey, let me take you to the marketplace before that thing goes. Now let me, he went there and he got a cool 60,000. See, again, so I really, you know, Anbiya, I got respect, love and everything. But the dunya things, you know, there's something else for dunya that they don't know. It's another dimension of dunya. I know about it now, see. I saved myself. Otherwise, I incurred a loss, 160,000. For a poor peasant, It's a great amount of money. For you, maybe not so much, right? For him. Now, past that, now you got a voice that up to tu mar jayega. You will die now. Now he goes straight to Musa alayhi salam. Ya Nabi Allah, this is what has been told to me. Now can you reverse this whole thing? So Musa alayhi salam told him, see, I told you from the beginning, it's not the right thing for us to ask. Musa alayhi salam explained to him, see, Allah Ta'ala's plan was, some tragedy must strike. But before the tragedy could strike, you averted the thing. From the horse to the cow. Then when we turned to the cow, then you averted it again. Now someone had to catch it. Now you want to catch it now. So Allah Ta'ala keeps it away from us, but we don't realize this. No, why like this and why? Don't make a chutney of your mind. Just leave it to Allah Ta'ala. He will do it in time. But our duty is, remember what's our duty. One is, I said, bring about simplicity and halal, right? And number two is bring about modesty. See, Allah Pak is saying in this Badr ayat, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. If you will have taqwa, then you will see the help of Allah Ta'ala, you will be thankful. In our lives, internationally, not only South Africa, but internationally, I feel that business, one is, we need to become a little bit simple in our styles, our ways. Leave all this fast life, fast lane, leave that. Be content and simplicity. And the second thing is modesty and shame. See, the modesty and shame requires just two things. One is the clothing, right? To understand what is modesty in clothing, just go into the archives of your dadi's cupboards, right? Look into the cupboards. Pull out a dress. Just compare it with today's girl's dress. You will see three major differences. Her dress was flowing and long, right? Clear. If someone seen their dadi's dress, was clear. Nani's dress was clear. And today's young girls, first it was from there, it came here, then here, now it's a t-shirt. I don't know what's left now. Right. So that was the modesty, right? Number two was, their clothing was loose. And now it's body hugging. The clothing was that the contours may not be revealed. But now it's a deliberate attempt to disobey Rasulullah, disregard. Rasulullah said, let it be loose, that your body must not be revealing. Now let's defy him. See, let's defy him. So that clothing was loose. I say, a simple homework, just go and see. Open the wardrobe, see the dadi's dress. And the third thing in the clothing was, you will see that they had big scarves or onis, what, dopatta, that covered the head completely. Maybe they were not alimas and hafizas, but the modesty, you can't doubt their modesty. You can't doubt their modesty. That was the one thing, now the modesty. And the second thing in the modesty is, you may have never heard that your dadima held your dada's hand and they're going into the mall and bazaar every and doing shopping. Did you ever hear that? No, the dadima's place was the house. She had to do those two things in the house. One is look after the children and upkeep the home. The children came out well. No. You will make a mess up with the shopping. You don't know my toiletries. I have to go in. See. So leave this business here. This modesty has to come into our lives. And number two, in our finances, etc., bring about moderation and simplicity and halal. Inshallah, like the verse of Allah Ta'ala is saying, that I help you out. So you observe taqwa and righteousness. Inshallah, you will always be thankful. You'll always be thankful. Allah grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'a al-abrar. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تم علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.